Okay, so thanks, Danielle, if you come over. I just gave them a very simple brief. Just said if you'd just like to share something about communion, what communion means to you, whatever. So thanks, Danielle, for being brave enough, and thank you.
Communion for me is when we take the bread and the wine in remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice to forgive our sins. It's a time when we remember all he has done for us and how much he loves us. Christmas is special, not just because of the presents, but because to celebrate when Jesus was born into this world to be our Saviour.
If I need to remember something important for the day, Mum will leave me a sticky note or write something in black text on the fridge so I don't forget. Communion is a lot like that. It reminds us that Jesus died on the cross for us and that we should never forget what he did for us and be grateful.
Communion is more than just bread and juice, but it is to remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us when he died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. We also partake in communion to remember how much Jesus loves us and to thank him for everything he does for us. At Christmas, we get very busy wrapping presents and cooking, but it is very important that we remember the real reason for this season, which is the birth of Jesus.
Beautiful. Well done, guys. Thank you very much. So as you think about what they've shared with us, let's partake together. Have you guys got some? Tobe will bring some over for us. Thanks, Tobe. Thank you. So just partake together and just remember and give thanks this morning. Father, we are grateful for so many things. We're first and foremost grateful for what you have done for us. We thank you that we get the opportunity. You put it in place. You instructed us. You gave us wise words and said, when we meet together, break bread and drink of the cup and remember you. Remember you till you come. And Lord, we're excited about what you've done for us. We're excited for the reality of that every day in our life and that we experience the outworking of what you did for us on the cross every day. Lord, it's relevant. Not just something sentimental from the past, but it's relevant to our lives right now. And Lord, we are excited about the anticipation or with anticipation of your return, knowing, Lord, that you've promised to come and to be with us again. So Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the promise of heaven. We thank you for the promise of relationship with you every day. We thank you for the promise of being your children, walking in relationship with you day by day. Father, we thank you also this morning for the children, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, for what they are learning, Lord, what they're learning about you. Thank you for Danielle and for Felix and for Hannah, who were able to just share and put to words, Lord, so well. Lord, the things that they've been learning and what communion means to them and even what Christmas means to them, Lord, they know about you, but they also know you. And Lord, we're just encouraged and blessed by their words this morning. So Lord, may we just continue, even through this Christmas season, may we look for opportunity, Lord, to share our story. May we look for opportunity to just love you afresh, Lord, to rekindle in our hearts or just to keep burning in our hearts, Lord, the love for you, the appreciation, the gratitude, Lord, the understanding, the revelation of who you are and all that you've done for us, Lord. It's so meaningful to us. Lord, we don't want it to ever become something that we just take for granted, but we want it to stay fresh. So thank you that we can break bread. We thank you that we can drink the cup. We thank you that we can celebrate at times like Christmas and Easter, but also week by week as we come and to spend time and encourage one another. Even as we open your word, as your Holy Spirit speaks to us day by day, Lord, we thank you that there is so much, Lord, that you have done and that you keep doing in our life. We thank you and praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm just going to ask the music team to stay with us. The guys will just collect our glasses and also your opportunity to give your tithes and offerings this morning. Girls, you're right. You're free to go. Did you like standing up here? Was everyone awake or not? Did you notice anyone asleep? If you notice anyone asleep, can you just point them out to me? Ian. All right. I knew I could trust them not to point to anyone other than Ian. All right. I just wanted for a couple of minutes, you know, the kids have, they're going out now, I think, aren't they, to have a party or celebrate. And I thought, why should they have one without us? And so I figured that we should have one too. And so we've got some goodies prepared for us to share together. So what I wanted to do was just, I just had four verses. I'll just read them and just make quick reference to them and just take a couple of minutes. I just felt to, I guess where this came from this morning was, I was thinking about our kids' church, and I was just thinking about how grateful we are for Chris and Nikki, and then obviously all the team that works with them week by week, and just putting that foundation that I spoke about, or just helping to see that foundation laid by Jesus in the life of our children. And I thought just how grateful I am for that. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking if I had to summarize, you know, because one of the things I know about our kids' church, I'm not in there every week, although I'd love to be in there more often, but I, one of the things I know, because I talk to the teams and talk to Chris, and I know, you know, what happens there. And one of the things I know is that we're not just teaching them Bible stories, although Bible stories are good as long as they've got application. We're not just teaching them information, but we're teaching them how certain things about their life, a foundation is really being laid in their life. And I thought, you know, if I had to sum up in a few words, I don't know, my thinking gets strange sometimes the way I connect certain dots together, but this is just what I thought. I thought I'd love to just share with you this morning some of the things that I feel that our children are being taught. And I thought you'll get excited about this. And it's kind of like a double-edged sword too, because I'm actually teaching you some things that are good for you to know as well and to be reminded of. But we can talk about, this is what I know our children are learning. And isn't this so good? The first thing I just thought of was, and most of these just came out of the idea of sonship and fatherhood. And I thought, John 1:12, it just says, as many as received him, to them he gave the authority or the power or the right to become a child of God. So that is receiving him, isn't it? Receiving him, becoming a child and receiving him. So that's the gospel. And so the kids learn, what they're learning, one thing they're learning is what it is to receive Jesus. They're learning the gospel. They're learning how they can actually have Jesus invited into their life, as they can accept what Jesus has done for them. You know what I'm saying. I don't want to take too long on it. But one of the things I know they're hearing is they're hearing the gospel. And there are times where I hear the kids, you know, the teachers either tell me that, you know, someone opened their heart and received Jesus, or the kids tell me, oh, you know what I did today? I received Jesus in kids' church today, you know? And I get so excited about that, because what I know is they're not just learning information, but they're learning how to have a journey with Jesus. And so that's the gospel, receiving him. And then I thought of Romans 8:14. And it just says, in fact, this was one of the first verses that came to me when I thought about what they're learning. It kind of all built around this verse, which just says, Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I remember when I read that, I thought, well, hang on a sec. If we receive him and we become a son of God or a child of God, then here it's saying if you're led by the Spirit, you become a child of God. But what I learned years ago was, what I understood was that that's a different word. The word son there is a Greek word, huios, which means a son that takes on the character or reflects the character and the nature of the father. So we become a son by name, but who knows, we can be a son by name but not a son by experience. Is that right? And so we become a son simply by receiving him, and we have the right then to call ourselves a child of God. The second thing, though, is that when we're led by the Spirit, when we learn how to let the Holy Spirit lead our life, and sometimes we make that like a bit of a scary thing. Oh, I need to hear this audible voice from heaven. You know, like sometimes it is a whisper into your heart. We went for a walk this morning, and you know, it was really a beautiful morning. We were just walking quietly, and what happened was, when I got home, I had to write down all these things that were coming into my mind. You know, I just felt like God was just speaking with clarity into my heart. But I got to tell you, it's not always like that. I thought, Lord, why can't it always be like this? Why can't you, you know, always speak this clearly to me? But he did this morning. He just spoke to me. And I went home and I wrote some things down, just popped them into my phone. And just thought, I've got to remember those. And there are things that I will work on and apply at some point. I know they're for a reason. But, you know, being led by the Spirit is just something that happens sometimes a bit clumsily and sometimes really simply. But we can let the Holy Spirit prompt us and guide us and lead us in our life. It's not meant to be a complicated, oh, I hope I don't get it wrong because I'll get struck by lightning type of thing. It's meant to be just, you know what, through relationship and sometimes with awkwardness like any relationship. Am I hearing right? What's he prompting me? Is that me? Is that God? Is that, you know, what I want or what God wants? You know, who knows what I'm talking about? And so, but we don't give up on that. We just keep on saying, I want to be led by you. I want to be led by the Spirit. And you know, the kids are learning that. They're learning what it is to be led by the Spirit, to have the Spirit in you and to let the Spirit lead you. And what that will do to you is it will actually allow the character of Jesus to come out in your life. It's not trying harder. Come on, Kerry, try harder. You can be more like Jesus. Well, there's an aspect where we have to be deliberate about our choices and that sort of thing. But what happens is it's impossible, isn't it, ourselves? It's impossible to have a New Year's resolution. I'm going to be more like Jesus. It's just not possible. Who knows it's not possible? Who knows from their experience? And so what happens is we can be better for a while, can't we? It can work for a bit. But who knows that when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and we're aware of him in our life, what happens is we resemble the Father and we become, hey, you know, I saw a bit of your dad there. I saw a bit of your dad there. We know what that's like, don't we? When people say, we don't know whether to be complimented or insulted sometimes by that. You know, I saw a bit of your dad there or whatever. But when we're led by the Spirit, it says we are sons who resemble the Father. And then also I thought of 1 John 3. It's one of my favourites, but I say that so often, don't I? 1 John 3, verse 1, just says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It's a fantastic verse. It's saying, stop and think about, don't just take it for granted, stop and think about how big a gesture of love it was when the Father gave you opportunity to be his child. When you just receive him and you become his child and you have the right to call yourself a child of God, think about how great an expression or what manner of love that is. And you know, I just put in brackets here, the first one was gospel, the next one is discipleship, and the third one is identity and worth. And I'm so glad that our kids are learning to find their identity and their worth in not trying harder, but knowing that that the Father loved them enough to adopt them into his family. I'm speaking to us too. You know, we can get excited about that too. But our children, isn't it great that our children, as a foundation in their life, they're learning about building their identity and worth not upon whether they are the best at this or the best at that. Or it's often good to do their best, but it's not like I have to be better than you to find my identity and worth. It's not about appearance or it's not about achievement and it's not about, you know, so many things that our world today tries to make the measure of our worth and value. How good is it? I mean, many of us who have either got saved in later life or have gone through certain struggles, don't we know that this is a big issue, isn't it? About your identity and your worth and where you find it and how it and how that sometimes just makes life so challenging and so difficult. And yet when the kids get a foundation of their identity and worth in Jesus and in the Father who has bestowed such a manner of love that he's called them his children, I just think, wow, what a great foundation. And then the fourth one, it's back at Romans 8 as well. I read verse 14 before, but 15 and 16 just talks about our spirit cries, Abba, Father. Something inside of us, the spirit inside of us has this sense that there's a Father out there. There's the God, the Father is there and wants us to have relationship with him. But then it goes on and says, it says, if we are children, then heirs, and heirs of God. And I think somewhere, whether it's not in that verse or not, it might say something about being heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. And so it says, when we're children, then we are heirs. Now, what's that talk about? It just means we have an inheritance. An inheritance is not something we have to work hard to get, but an inheritance is something that's ours through relationship. And our kids are learning that. Isn't that good? They're learning the gospel. They're learning discipleship. Discipleship not through human effort or greater effort or obligation or pressure or guilt or shame, but discipleship through knowing that the Holy Spirit is the one who will bring the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit into our life. And then identity and worth and then inheritance. Wow, they're good things, aren't they? That's the foundation that's being laid. I thank our teachers and I thank the parents who in your home you're taking... you're making it a priority to teach your children those foundational things. It's not just about, are you religious or not? Is your family Christian or are you religious? It's not about that. It's about, what are you going to have as a worldview? What are you going to have as a foundation for your life? What are you going to build your life upon? What way of thinking are you going to build your life upon? What values, what things are going to undergird your life? And when these things are being laid into the life of our children, well, what a future they have. A lot of the struggles that many of us in this room have experienced, you know, they won't have to experience in the same way. I'm not saying it'll be a breeze for them, but it means that they won't be able to experience it. They won't experience it in the same way, but they'll have a different view of life. Well, that's my message this morning, and I trust that's encouraging to you. We're going to just sing a song, and then we're going to go and to share something together and celebrate. Thank you. Sorry, I'll just jump in and say, next Christmas Day, I was just meant to tell you, we did announce it last week, but we're going to actually record our Christmas Day service, because many can't be here but would like to just join in our service sometime through Christmas Day or whatever. But what we will do is at 9 o'clock Christmas Day morning, which is Friday morning, it will be like when we recorded our service before. It'll be available for you to tune in and watch at home, knowing that others are watching as well. At the same time, you'll be able to interact and make comments and say hello to everyone as well. But we will be here. I will be here, and there'll be others that will be here who want to just be together on the day. And so rather than me play piano and lead songs and whatever, because there's others that can't be here with us, we're just going to come and we will be together and we'll watch the service together on the screen. So you can watch it at home. After 9 o'clock, you'll be able to watch it later on through the day. I believe that's right, isn't it? You'll be able to watch it through the day. It'll be there for you to be able to watch, like our previous services are there now still to watch. All right. And if you need to know how to do that, how to access that, please sing out. We'd be glad to guide you. So if you're home or if you're away, then you'll be able to join in the service either at 9 o'clock with us or at some time through the day. But if you want to come together, hey, we'd really love to have you come.